1 Timothy 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, love. Out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Love brings the end to the law. Love brings an end to the law. And this is the law fulfilled, that we love one another. Love brings an end to the law. From which, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain janglings, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm. They want to teach this thing, but they don't actually know what they're talking about. There is a lot of vain jangling. It's like a sound that makes no sense. It has no rhythm. It has no purpose. It has no sense. It's a vain, empty jangling. And they want to be teachers of this jangling. And they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what it means. And they're pretty ignorant of their own spirit, in fact. But we know that the law is good, if a man uses it lawfully. Now, charity is the end of the law. But we know that the law is good, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man. The law is not made for the man who has God's righteousness. The law is not made for the believer. The law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. So what Paul is saying is the law is good to some. For example, if you didn't know that you should not kill your father or your mother, then the law is good. It will tell you you should not do this. So if you are someone who does not know that you should not be a slayer or profane, if you do not know that you should not be a prostitute or a killer or whatever, then the law is good. That's what Paul is saying. I think Paul had this really cool sense of humor. He was really dry. Right? And this is the use of the law. The law is good if you don't know you are not to kill. Okay, so now you know you don't kill. Okay, we can all get along. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars. You know, if you didn't know you are not to kidnap, then the law is good for you. Okay, it'll tell you don't kidnap. Okay, but remember, it was not made for the righteous, those who have God's righteousness. It was made for these people who don't know that they ought not kidnap and kill and whatever, steal. For liars, for perjurers, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God, he said, counted me faithful, and I thank him, because he put me into this calling, into this ministry. And so I counted him thankful. I am thankful to him. But who was Paul? Well, we continue in verse 13. Remember, he just said, I thank God for putting me into the ministry. Who, me that is, who, he's talking about himself, was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. And I obtained the mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. I think a great many believers believe that they will be disqualified if they are not perfect. But it is not my perfection that qualifies me in the first place. It is that I have obtained mercy. Mercy is the very key to my relationship to God. Because apart from mercy, I will not be transformed by Him. David said, "Thy gentleness has made me great," and he learned sure mercies from God. And to such an extent he learned the sure mercies from God that they were called the sure mercies of David. As a believer, if I am to have the life of God flowing in me, if I am Spirit-filled, if I am Spirit-led, I will be a merciful believer. I will love mercy above all else, because it is by mercy that I am saved. It is by God's mercy that I have not been consumed by my own failures. It is by God's mercy that I was led to Him. It is by the mercy of God, not by the will of man, not by the will of the flesh, but by the mercy of God that I came to Him. It is by the mercy of God that He draws me. What is mercy? Mercy is the fact that God has not given me that which I have deserved. If I were to get that which I have deserved, I would be in hell right now. I would not have the opportunity to even live out my life. I would be in hell right now. Why? Because there are times, for example, when I am angry with a person, and my Bible says that if I am angry with a person, I have already killed them, so I am a murderer. And if I am a murderer, then I have broken every point of the law, because if you violate one point of the law, you violate all of the law. Not just the Ten Commandments, all 430 of them. I am saved by the mercy of God. My life experience is saved by the mercy of God. I am delivered from weaknesses. I am delivered from failures. I am delivered from my own self by the mercy of God. And only through the mercy of God can I approach God, and only through the mercy of God will I ever get to know Him. The Word of God says, "Blessed are the merciful, because they will obtain mercy." What does that mean? Well, what that means is twofold. If I am merciful, then it is because I have received God's mercy. But it means one more thing. If I am not merciful, then when I get to the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, I will not be dealt with mercifully. Now, God will always retain true to His nature. But there is the law of sowing and reaping. And that is a universal law that extends into eternity as well. If I sow rebellion as a believer, then God will chastise me and perhaps take me home early if I do not get right. I reap what I have sown. And at the Bema seat, I will suffer loss of rewards because I reap what I have sown. On the other hand, if I surrender my life to Christ, if I am filled with the Holy Spirit, if I love mercy above all things, then God will deal with me mercifully here and in eternity as well. The Bema seat will be a very merciful place for those who love mercy, because that is the fruit of their life. That is what they will be evaluated on. The prophet said, "Love mercy, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. There are three things. Walk according to the finished work. Do justly, because that is justice. The finished work of Christ, where He has paid for my failures and my sins before the foundation of the world. Where He never sees me according to my failure, because He has removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. That is walking justly, doing justly. Love mercy. Love the heart of God. Walk humbly. Do not esteem yourself so great that you believe for a moment that you can walk apart from mercy. I am not greater than you are. I cannot say that I will not give you mercy. I am not greater than God is. I cannot say that He will not give me mercy. I have to love mercy. And if I walk humbly, I will do the other two. I will love the finished work that has caused me to be perfect in Christ. And I will love His mercy that causes the perfection of my experience here on earth, and then rich reward in heaven. If I do not do those things, then I will actually, albeit perhaps I am sincere, I will become arrogant. And arrogance is when I esteem myself greater than another. And if I am that way, then I will feel like I have the ability and the right somehow, for whatever reason, to treat them apart from the heart of God. If I do not have those things, I will become proud. And pride is when I do not agree with the Word of God. And if I do not agree with the Word of God, I will not have the right identity before Him. And I will be condemned when I fail. The Word of God says there is no condemnation. If I fail, I simply straight to God in agreement that was a failure, and I continue. I don't get condemned, but I humble myself before Him. And I allow God to take me where He wants me, because I know that I don't have to be afraid of those places, because He will be merciful in all things towards me. Don't be afraid of where God may take you. Don't be afraid if God puts you in a process whereby His life can flow through you, but the process must take place first. Don't be afraid of those things. God is merciful. And God is kind. And God will not leave or forsake anyone. No matter what my failures, He will not leave me, because even if I do not abide faithful, He will abide faithful. Love the mercy of God. Above all things, love the mercy of God. Because if I do not love the mercy of God, then I do not actually love the heart of God. And if I do not love the heart of God, then how will I ever know who God is? I know a person when I get to know their heart. I love a person when I get to love their heart.